Well, how you guys doing this morning? Great. If you guys wouldn't mind coming up here real quick, just meeting us at the altar where your lives will be transformed and spiritually altered for fantastic things, because it's literally the altar. Hallelujah. If you guys wouldn't mind coming forth to the altar, that'd be fantastic. That'd be so great. Oh, man, you guys look beautiful, all seven of you. It's fantastic. It's great to see you. It's great to see you. Hallelujah. All right. Oh, yo, what's good? Oh, man. Isn't God good? Well, dear Lord, I just thank you for this time of worship that we are about to have. Lord God, let our hearts be ready to get hit by you, Lord God. Let such an amazing move of God happen tonight, Lord God. Let us leave and never be the same, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God. You brought us here so that we can get our lives changed, Lord God. You brought us here so that we can be encouraged, Lord Jesus. And that's what will happen today, Lord God, this morning. Lord Jesus, I just ask that your power would hit like never before, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, you're so amazing. You're mighty. You're matchless, Lord God. You're magnificent. You're marvelous. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I wanna sing a little louder than before. Oh, hey. I wanna jump higher than before. Let me hear you shout louder. Come on and say. I wanna sing a little louder than before. Oh, 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 oh. I wanna spin wilder than before. One more time, let me hear you shout real quick. Fantastic. Now let's sing freedom.
Freedom.
My heart is set free. Thank you, Lord, for freedom. Oh, yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. I've got freedom. Yeah, I've got freedom. So we're going to sing that one more time, but I just want to let you guys know what you're actually doing. So when we clap, we're giving God praise. What praise does is it lets God know that he is mighty, he's magnificent, and that we adore him and we just thank him for what he's done. All right, so when we worship and when we jump and when we sing, that's giving God glory. That's giving God worship. And when we worship, things happen inside of us because we're letting him in. And then when we jump and when we spin, we're just activating what we've already sent up. And when we jump, we may even see healings. When we jump, our knees may even be stronger. When we jump, when we spin, when we spin, our lives are being transformed. You're right. So when we sing this one more time, I just want you to put your praise into activation, your worship into activation, and let your life be transformed. You guys got it? All right, so let's do that one more time. And on this last time, I want to hear everybody. I want to clap a little louder than before. I wanna sing a little louder than before. Oh, 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 oh. I wanna jump higher than before. Let me hear you shout louder. Hey, come on and say. I've got freedom, Lord.
Freedom.
Hey. Yeah, I've got freedom. Thank you for freedom. Hey, yeah.
Freedom.
Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, for freedom. Now with the second part, let's sing it. Sing. No more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage. I am free. Come on, let me hear it. If you believe it, let me see you put your faith in activation.
No more shackles, no more chains,
no more
bondage. I am free.
For I am free, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Thank you, Lord, for freedom. One more time, let's sing.
No more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage. I am free, yeah.
Now repeat after me real quick. Let me hear you. Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. I've got freedom.
Hallelujah.
I can shout.
Hallelujah.
I can jump.
Hallelujah.
I can run.
Hallelujah.
For my freedom.
Hallelujah.
I can see.
Hallelujah.
I can shout.
Hallelujah.
For my freedom.
Hallelujah.
I sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's the highest
hallelujah.
Praise. That's what my heart
hallelujah.
Cries. Sing freedom. Shout. You've got to shout. How many of us know God is able? How many of us know that God will exceed our standards if we allow Him to? So with that in mind, let's sing this song. Come on, y'all. Sing it with me. Sing God.
God is able to do just what He said He would do.
He's gonna fulfill.
He's gonna fulfill
every promise.
Every promise to you.
Don't give up, no.
Don't give up on God.
Hallelujah.
He's able.
You've got to shout. Come on, praise God if you know that He's able. If God needs to move in your life today, you better allow Him, because I know that
He is able.
Yes, He's so able. He is so magnificent. He will do anything if you ask Him to. That's Matthew 7:7. Now let's sing God.
God is able to do just what He said.
He's gonna fulfill.
He's gonna fulfill
every promise,
every
single promise.
To
don't give up, no.
Don't give up on God.
Sing. Now with every hand in the air. And all minds on Jesus. Let's sing He's Able.
He is able.
And this is my favorite part of this whole song, because it's just singing our war cry. So if you know it, just sing. Sing low.
Oh, 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 He's able.
Y'all sound amazing.
Oh, 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 oh,
I can only imagine. on that day when I'm standing right in front of God and I am able to say that he is able. When I see him looking at me saying, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into my courts with praise, I will know that he is able, and I will sing this. So sing this a little louder. Sing, oh, 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 oh. Come on, give me more, give me more. Sing, oh. Because the word told me
he's able.
That he is able.
He's able,
and his word cannot lie.
He's able.
No, it will not come back.
He's able.
It will not come back in
he's
vain.
Able.
Cause he is able.
He's able.
And every promise,
he's able.
Every blessing,
he's able.
My finances. Just bask on that.
He won't give up on you.
Don't give up.
Don't give up on
no. Last time we're gonna sing this, sing, don't give up.
Don't give up on God, cause he won't give up on you,
for he is able. Give God a shout if you know he's able. Hallelujah. Give God a clap offering if you know that he is willing and able. Hallelujah.
People.
in the heart. One more time, let me hear the sound. I hear the sound.
I hear the sound of revival.
It's deep in the hearts,
of your people. Send it now.
We want it now.
We want it now.
I hear the sound.
I hear the sound of revival.
It's deep in the hearts.
The hearts of your people.
We need it now.
We need it now.
Sing release.
Release your glory. Send your glory. We're hungry. We're thirsty for you. We want you. We're patiently waiting. For you, we need you.
Sing, we're hungry.
We're hungry.
Yeah.
We're thirsty.
We're thirsty.
For you.
For you.
We want you.
We want you.
We're patiently waiting for you.
Sing.
We need you.
Lord, we will wait for all we want is you. Lord, we will wait for you. Cause all we want is you. Sing it out. Lord, we will wait for you. Cause all we want.
Cause all we want is you.
Lord, we will wait.
Lord, we will wait for you.
Cause all we want is you. Every hand in the air, because right now he's about to release the blessings, the fire and the rain. Hallelujah. See,
we've been praying, we've been so
now we're crying. I've been praying and I've been
patiently waiting for you.
For you.
We need you.
My heart is thirsty.
We're hungry. We're thirsty.
Yes, I am.
For you.
For you, oh Lord.
We want you.
I want you. I want you.
We're patiently waiting
for you.
For you.
Hallelujah.
We need you.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh God, we thank you for the rain. We thank you that we are in a season of rain. Hallelujah, Lord God. You're so mighty. You're magnificent. Yes, Lord. So amazing, Lord.
worship. There's no place we'd rather be, Jesus, than with your presence. Father, let it burst out of our spirit. There's no place we'd rather be than in your presence. God, today, as we sing that again, we are going to abandon everything we are. Father, we're going to shoot our hands to heaven, and we're going to let you know that there's nobody, there's nothing, there's no other priority in our life but you. We want more of Jesus, more and more and more. Hallelujah. Father, I pray we all get to that place where, Lord, it's that moment, that time with you. Father, not just here on Sunday morning, but I pray in the name of Jesus. Father, when we wake up tomorrow morning, this song will start resounding in our heart. I want more. I want more. I want more. Jesus, we just want more of you. For, Lord, this earthly things, they suffice for a bit. But without you in it, it means nothing. So Holy Spirit, saturate us, our entire life, with wanting more of Jesus. And God, in these last days, we'll have that great testimony that God is good. And that, Lord, you are generous to people. You are generous with your love. You are generous with your healing. You are generous, oh God, in every area of our life. For you are an awesome God, and you're greatly to be praised. In Jesus' name, and everybody said... I said, everybody said, amen. Amen. On your way back to your chair, make sure you tell at least 5 or 6 folks, I want more. Come on. Tell some folks, I want more. Don't just sit down. Make sure you turn around and tell somebody, I want more. Too many people are sitting down. Everybody stand up, turn around, tell somebody, good morning, you look just marvelous today. Don't be a snob. Brother Chucky.
If you haven't already signed up for Step 1, make sure you register today. And if you've already been through Step 1 in Rock Solid Faith, make sure you sign up for Step 2 and get registered today. You can go online at histabernacle.com or come right here in the foyer and sign up at the hub. Make sure you sign up for Next Steps, get registered, and start growing.
Here at His Tabernacle, we appreciate our volunteers. And to show our appreciation, we are hosting a breakfast for our volunteers, February 25th at 9 a.m. See your ministry leader for more details.
Hey, His Tab, this is Pastor Johnson. I got a great question to ask you. Do you believe that God can use you in singing, dancing, sound and media, drama? If that's the case, meet me here February 25th at 11:30 a.m. We want to see your talent used for God's glory. If you want to find out more about this, hit me up at Pastor Johnson at histabernacle.com.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. What a worship team. Didn't they just rip it up this morning? Praise the Lord. Hey, I have a free gift. We have 7 His Tabernacle car logos. Today's warm enough to put them on your vehicle. If you'd like one, come grab one. I only have 7. If you don't have a car, you can't take one. There's nothing better than be driving. I got one more left. Who wants it? I'm not coming to you. There's nothing better than driving by and passing somebody at 80 miles an hour with a His Tabernacle logo. Or going to a parking lot and seeing it full, amen? We want to all the young people from grades 7 through 9, we have a class just for you. If you'll follow Pastor Cody, his hands are up in the back. Pastor Cody, wave your hand at everybody. Very good. If you're grades 7 through 9, we have a class just for you. Make your way back to Pastor Cody. It's been great. We've had, I think, 26 to 30 young people back there every single week, plus youth group on Thursday nights. It's been just an awesome experience for everybody. We want to welcome everybody. If you're our guest this morning, we want to welcome you. Amen. It's good to have one of my sons in the house. Amen. I'm talking about you. My baby boys, come home. Stand and wave, everybody. Yeah. Okay, he even looks good. How long did you live with us? About a year, right? Close to a year. He's my baby boy. I know, he's beautiful. If you're a guest this morning, we want to welcome. We have a free gift for you. We're not going to embarrass you or do weird things, but we do want to give you a free gift. If you're a guest this morning, first time, we'd love to bless you. If you'll just raise your hand up, we have folks that are going to come right to you. Very good. Young lady over here. Young lady over there. Very good. Anybody else? Young lady right there. Keep your hand up just long enough for them to see you. There you go. Is there any? Oh, very good. Oh, whole family. Welcome. Amen. I know you. Oh, you're visiting. Come on now. Anybody else? Guests? Oh, very good. Young couple. Very good. Are you a couple? No, you're not a couple. I know you got to be careful when you say that. I once told a lady, I said, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you and your baby? And she wasn't pregnant. It's a very bad thing to do. You got to be careful, you know what I mean? It's good to have Brother Chucky. Brother Chuck, will you stand up? Chuck Smith served in Afghanistan. Hallelujah. Honor our military. Great man of God. And how many of you remember Pastor Jerry? Pastor Jerry Smith. It's Pastor Jerry Smith's son. Very good. Sister Eppie's in the house. It's her birthday today. She's with Pastor Rhonda out back. So when she gets in, make sure you welcome her. She's very young today. Hallelujah. I told her 26 all over again. Amen. We want to welcome our live stream. I don't know if you realize it, but last week there were almost 300 people on live stream last week. Isn't that amazing? 300 people. It's all over the world. It's so exciting as we're able to minister to people all over the world from a cornfield right here in Horseheads, New York. I just want to say, I love you. This young lady travels 2 hours to come to church. 2 hours. Isn't it exciting? We have how many people travel over at least 45 minutes to an hour to come to church every week? Ooh, very, very guessing. Good, good. Come on. I saw your hand. You're good. Anybody else? Oh, very. Wow. Who else? Over on this side. We do. We love you. How far do you travel, Michelle? An hour. Wow. Praise the Lord. We just want to welcome and thank all of those who travel. Can we give them all a hand clap who travel that distance? Amen. This morning, as we're getting ready to receive the offering, we have a testimony. I love testimonies because you can hear the preachers talking about the Word of God, but when you hear somebody else give a testifying message about how the Word has changed your life, you can't beat it. Brother Josh, he's huge, isn't he? He's just a monster.
How's everybody doing? I know, I'm not used to this microphone thing. I just want to start off by saying God is able, and God's principles do work. Living testimony of that right here. For about the past year, even before then, I've been working a job that, I mean, it pays the bills, puts food on the table, but it's not enough. You know, it's paycheck to paycheck, living week to week, and I've been praying about it and asking God, you know, God, I know you want me to prosper. I know I'm your child. I know you want to spoil me. So just please, Lord God, I'm going to keep my faith, and I know that something eventually is going to work out. And I started coming here to His Tabernacle about a little over a year ago, and I never really tithed. You know, I didn't believe in tithing. I didn't know what it was. And I've been given to His Tabernacle and given to God every week for about a year now. And I believe in what I'm doing. I know that I'm doing it for a reason, and I know that God is going to bless me. And some weeks have been harder than others, you know. I try to give what I can, but I also got to put food on the table. I'm a big fan of sushi. That's expensive. But I always make sure I put something in the basket. Well, now I text the number, and it just comes out of my bank account, but... So I've been keeping the faith, and I've been being patient, and just last week I found out that I got my dream job. there's a lot of blessings with this job. It's more than the fact that I'll be going back to days so I can go back to rock solid faith and grow in the Word of God. Everybody getting rock solid faith. Just saying. It's a 20-minute drive from my house. Right now I'm driving 45. I will be making $20,000 more a year. So not only is the paycheck-to-paycheck thing over with, but I can also give back to those who need it and give the community because I know that's what God wants me to do. And after all, we are the generous church, right? So, but honestly, the best thing about this new job is, and this really is just a testament to how God's timing is always right, but I've waited 2.5 years for this job, and now one of my best friends, who I've known for over a decade, is actually going to be my boss. So, and it's perfect because this guy is, he's not necessarily a man of God. He battles with it. He struggles with the belief in it. So now I get to spend every working day preaching the Word of God to this man, and hopefully one day, with God's grace, he'll be walking through those doors too. So, just keep the faith, keep tithing, and God bless. Thank you.
Are you nervous? You always want him on your team. He's big.
Amen.
As we're getting ready to go into the offering, we just want to remind everybody about the principles of God's Word. Hi, Pastor Rhonda. Are you ready to receive the offering? Very good.
Hallelujah. I love that testimony. You know, you can argue with the Word of God, but there's nobody that can tell Josh that God's Word doesn't work. You won't convince him at all. So if you're ready to give, let's stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration. that he just testified to the trueness of this passage that we say. And it's Deuteronomy 28. And if you'll repeat after me, it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching by a live stream, click on your giving button and give right along with us, or you can text to give. It's really easy, so bring out your phone and text to give.
So good, isn't he? I said, God is so good, isn't he? Amen. We want to remind everybody, we're close to Empowering Pastors Conference. We want to remind you what that's all about. We have the opportunity of ministering to pastors. We've had pastors already start to register. One from Kentucky's already registered, and that's March 20th through 22nd. And we sow towards that as a body. So if you are interested in sowing to the Empowering Pastors Conference, in the last 2 years, we've had four pastors not quit the ministry. That is awesome. Right now, there are 1,900 pastors leaving the ministry a month. They're quitting forever. They're discouraged. They're disillusioned. They've been wounded. And I thank God at the Empowering Pastors Conference, we're able to build them up, strengthen them, speak into their lives. And just think how many communities we have already changed. We know four communities have already been supernaturally impacted because of you. Turn to someone and say, you are a generous church. Do you know how generous you are? Last week we did our annual business meeting. The church gave out last year to home missions and foreign missions $320,000. We reinvested that in our community and across the world. We were able to give away out of our budget, which is over almost, I think it was 26% of the church budget went to giving it away. So our church doesn't talk about giving. Our church does give. One thing to talk about it, it's another thing to do it. Amen? So our church, I mean, all of our pastors could have better salaries, and we could even put a fountain in the foyer. I don't know. But, you know, it's better to give. Can I hear an amen? It's better to sow into the community. Let them know that Jesus Christ is good and not bad. I love the fact that God loves a soul-winning church, and you are a soul-winning church. Turn to someone and say, we are the generous church. Yeah, $320,000. That means you're generous. Amen. So we just want to say we are giving everybody opportunity. The ushers are ready. If you'd like to sow into the Empowering Pastors, the offering plates will be in the back We're not going to take a separate offering. But if you'd like to sow into that, just raise your hand. The ushers will put an envelope in your hand, and they'll bless you. Amen. Anybody else? Very good over on that side right there. Hallelujah. We want to make sure that you have opportunity to sow into the pastors that are coming in and have their lives changed. Right now, we get to do a baby dedication. How many of you love baby dedications? I love baby dedications. We have so many babies in this church. We're praying that everybody who's married will have twins. Hallelujah. No, no. Pastor Dan, you don't want twins? You and Sister Jody? No, no twins? Oh, no. You're already having a baby. Not twins? Well, we need to pray for prosperity. Hallelujah. Could I have the whole family come forward? A lot of this family has moved here from New Hampshire and Massachusetts. And Sister Kayla started a mutiny of the state of Massachusetts. Hallelujah. Her entire family's been coming. Hi. We got a grandpa all the way from Arizona. Yes. Grandpa Keegan. This is great grandfather and great grandmother. Right here. How are you?
I'm great.
Amen. It's a great day. So we're going to be dedicating Chloe. Hi, Chloe. How are you, honey? You're so smiley. You are. Do you know why you're here? Do you know why your sister's here? Now, this kid, you hand him the microphone, and I'm never giving it back. I'm telling you right now. Huh. Do you know why your sister's here? Baby dedications are awesome. You know, and some folks have come from different backgrounds, and if you've maybe come from a more liturgical background, baby dedications are for the baby. In fact, they actually teach that the child goes to heaven because they're dedicated, and that's not what's in the Bible at all, and we just want to make sure you understand what baby dedication is all about. Baby dedication is about the parents and the grandparents and the uncles and the aunts investing in the child. You see, that's the greatest part about this. We get to take the time to show Chloe how to live for Jesus. You know, the one thing I know for sure is this is a mom and dad who pray, seek God. And man, let me tell you, have you ever heard Terry sing? Oh, my goodness. The guy can tear it up, man. He can sing. Isn't he amazing? Yeah. And then have you ever heard Kayla preach? Woo! Dear Lord, that girl can preach. She preaches in youth ministry. So it's a family of ministry. And we're excited that they're here today dedicating Chloe. And we have another one in the oven, right? A boy. Amen. So we're praying for more. Are we done? You never know. They're going to fill the church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for Chloe. Lord, we just lay hands on her and declare blessing over her in the name of Jesus. We declare, God, your covenant over this family. Lord, your covenant is yea and amen. God, your covenant declares that salvation was purchased on the cross of Calvary. We declare, Lord, that she will not be lost, that God, she'll stay serving you all the days of her life. We declare that no sickness, no disease, no wound, and no maiming will come into her life in the name of Jesus, according to the covenant that by Jesus' stripes she was healed. And we declare in the name of Jesus that no poverty will ever touch her life in the name of Jesus, that God, she'll tithe and she'll sow even as a young child and grow up with the principles of God's word, that she will be blessed all the days of her life for the glory of God. Now, God, we charge this family to live before you, that, Lord, she'll learn how to pray by watching them. She'll learn how to preach by watching mama. She'll learn how to sing by listening to daddy. She'll learn how to pray in tongues. She'll learn, oh God, how to move in your spirit by being part of this family that will flow in you. And God, we thank you for them. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. I love baby dedications. Today's going to be a little bit different for everybody. Most of the time, I'm more of a preacher than I am a teacher. But today, I'm going to do some teaching. Is that all right? This is the year of... That was so sad. I said, this is the year of... You're getting closer. I said, this is the year of... We are... Amen. That's who we are. It's our very nature because that's the nature of our Father in heaven. Amen. One thing that I want to talk about today, and you've heard me post on Facebook, is I want to kill a religious cow today. How many of you have ever heard of a religious cow? If you haven't been saved long, you're saying, what? What's a religious cow? What a religious cow is a tradition or a teaching that's not in the Bible, but has been perpetuated from generation to generation. There are lies that have been spoken in the church. There are things that have been spoken about in the church that are not God. But yet the church has not been taught the right way. So today I want to teach you, because this is the year of... I said, this is the year of... And today what I want to tackle is this principle. Was Jesus poor when he was on the earth? Now, why we need to attack that is because of this. Because the religious cow said that Jesus looked a lot like this. That Jesus, you know, he was born to a poor family. And that when he started ministry, he didn't have much. In fact, he didn't even have a place to lay his head. So poor Jesus, he'd heal the sick. He'd raise the dead. He'd help the blinded eyes. He'd help administer to people. But, you know, he really didn't have much. He's more in survival mode himself. Now I want to tell you why this is such an evil cow that's in the body of Christ. Because this is the year of, and who is the generous? It is the generous God. But you will never believe that God himself is generous to you if you believe that God was never generous to his own son. So by people running around and teaching and believing that Jesus lived a life of poverty on this planet, it is very difficult for you and I as believers to lay hold of the principle that God wants to bless us. Because if God would not bless his own son, then how and why would God bless us, his children? This is a lie that has to be addressed. This religious cow that's in the church has to be killed and butchered and thrown away. Because if not, then you and I are going to always live under the shadow of this religious teaching that is non-biblical and puts believers in a position where they'll never believe God for greater in their life. They'll never believe God for blessing in their life. They'll only believe God for survival in their life. God is not the God of survival. God is the God of abundance. God is not the God of barely making it by, and God is not a stingy God. God is a generous God that loves to pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and he desires that you be blessed and not cursed. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Our verse for the year is Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25, and it says this: the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. The generous soul shall be made what? We already went through this verse that word there is not talking about rich in spirit, but it's talking about rich in goods. And it's time for the church to realize that God wants you blessed. Now, why does God want you blessed? Why does God want you to prosper? Not so you and I can just sit back and live in a bumper car house and drive a Mercedes-Benz and have all the things of this planet, because you can have all the things of the planet and still not go to heaven. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, the issue is not things. The issue gets down to a matter of the heart. Can I hear an amen? The matter of the heart is, do you love God more than you love things? Now, the problem with the church world, especially in the old school church, is that we were actually taught that you were more spiritual with the less that you had. That you knew God more, you needed God more if you had less. But if that is true, then money is a perpetuator of God or a delineation of God. You see, either we have to have God because we don't have money, or we don't need God because we do have money. That is the lie from the old church. It has nothing to do with what you got. It has to do with your heart and whether you want him or you don't. The Bible says if you want to do the whole law and the prophets, it's simple with just two verses. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, and all of your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. You see, the love of God is the passion that propels us, and it doesn't matter what you got or don't have. What matters is who you got. I said it's who you got. But the generous soul shall be made rich. So the fact is either God's word is true or it's a lie. That's what it all comes down to, doesn't it? Either God's word is true or it's a lie. And the word of God says that God's word is every yea and amen, that every jot and tittle shall come to pass, that God is truth and every man is a liar, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. You see, truth is the very foundation of God's word. And as truth is the foundation, then we can take God's word as truth and live within truth, and therefore the truth shall make us free. So there's a need for us to lay hold of biblical truth rather than religious cows and traditions of man that will hold back. God did not save you from bondage to put you back into bondage. I'd like you to open your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Now, as you're turning there, I want to talk to you, and like I said, I'm teaching a little bit more than preaching, but I want to talk to you about what's called hermeneutics. Everybody say hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is a big word that simply means how to correctly interpret the scripture. There are two main ways to interpret the scripture, and the first one is called historical grammatical exegete. All right, everybody say that with me. Historical, come on, you can do it with me, you got it. Historical grammatical exegete, which simply means this: I accept the word of God as true and as valid, and what it says is what it means. The other way is called spiritualization, and that is that I can interpret the scripture any way I want. Even though the original writer meant yellow, I don't like the color yellow, so I like green. I'm going to change its meaning because I don't like what it says. Now, we find people doing that all the time. We find different sins are validated by people spiritualizing the scripture. We need to get back to believing that the word of God is yea and amen. You don't have to look for a weird meaning. It's right there. The meaning is simple, it is valid, and it is true. So today I don't want to look at this verse in a spiritualization, which means I'm not going to look at it and just simply say, I want to make it mean what I want it to mean. We need to look at what's called context. Everybody say context. Context simply means you take the whole chapter and the verse that's in there, and you make sure that the verse is talking about what the whole chapter is talking about, which means it has to line up. Now, I'm going to give you a spiritualization. Is that fair? Here's a spiritualization. Judas hung himself. Go thou and do likewise. Those are two verses from the Bible that I took out and made it to mean anything I wanted. We find that all the time. You can't do that. Turn to someone and say, you can't do that. Tell somebody else, you just can't do that. It dishonors the scripture. We've got to look at the Bible and learn within the context of the verse what it's actually talking about. So let's talk about this. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Now, one of the very first things I want to talk to you about is this, is the context of this verse in all of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is not talking about spiritual salvation. Not one part of this is talking about people getting saved, about people getting right with the Lord. that Jesus Christ gave and became poverty and sin that we might become rich in spirit. That's not what it's talking about at all. The entire context of chapter 8 is talking about money. When you start breaking down the Greek words here, it does not say poverty in spirit. It means poverty in stuff. It means poverty in way of living. It means poverty in possession. When it looks at the word rich in the Greek, it literally means wealth, earthly wealth, what is available on this planet in possession. So when you look at the context and you look at the Greek words, what you'll find in this portion of Scripture is that it's not talking about spiritual. It's not talking about getting saved. It's not talking about a spiritual revolution. It's talking about a financial and the war against poverty and the poverty spirit that has enveloped the church through the religious cow that Christ came and he lived a life of poverty on this planet and that he just barely survived. Today we've got to lay hold of the Word of God, and we've got to study the Word of God, because there's no way that you're going to believe God will be generous to you if he wasn't even generous to his own son. There's no way for you to connect that God wants to bless you if he couldn't even connect it with his own son. You know what's amazing, too, to understand, and many people don't understand this, and this is why many of you need to join Rock Solid Faith. Turn to someone and say, you need to join Rock Solid Faith. I didn't hear a lot of it. I said, you need to join Rock Solid Faith. Why do you need to join Rock Solid Faith? Because many people do not realize that Jesus Christ lived Old Testament. He did not live in the New Testament. He lived in the Old Covenant. That Jesus was a mediator of a new and a better covenant with better promises, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. But that didn't come till after he died and rose from the dead. But Christ lived in the old covenant, which means the old covenant is what was applicable to his life, which means how Jesus lived, the Old Testament principles applied directly to how he lived and how it was going to manifest in his life. You know, we quote this every single week, Deuteronomy chapter 28. It says this, I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out, I'm blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. Now watch now. It says I'm the head and not the tail. Now the Bible says if you obey, these are the promises that are in your life. That's why my wife always says, how do you say it? If I obey, then I'm blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed my soul, blessed my basket. We say that because there's a need for people to understand that there is also the opposite in Deuteronomy chapter 28. The Bible says, if you do not obey, these curses will come in your life. And one of them is hemorrhoids. Dear Lord. No, really, just look it up. One of them is hemorrhoids. It just does not sound good. I say, how many of you would rather be blessed? How many would rather have hemorrhoids? Turn to someone and say, I want to be blessed then. I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. You see, Christ Jesus had to make a decision when he came on this planet. Remember that there could not be any sin in his life, because if there was, he could not be the Messiah, because he was the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth. He was without spot or blemish. Can I hear an amen? If there was sin in Christ's life, then he could not have been the perfect sacrifice, for he who became sin for us knew no sin. You see, Jesus died on that cross because he was that perfect lamb, that perfect sacrifice that God gave. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, God did that for us because his nature is generosity. He gave his best seed to get the best harvest. Our God is generous. Shall my God is generous. With that, Jesus made the decision to be obedient. Christ had to choose obedience. We see in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, he said he was even obedient to the cross. He had the right to say no. He had the right in the garden to cancel it all. He had the right to say, I don't want to obey. Now, listen now. It's powerful because he was divinity, which means he was all God and all man in the flesh. But he gave up, according to Philippians chapter 2, all of his heavenly glory to come down here and live as a man. Therefore, he walked as a man would, had the same temptations as a man would. The Bible says that he is a Messiah or a Savior that understands what we're going through because he went through the same temptations that we went through. You see, he was touchable. He was real. He was a real man, even historically. I still hear people say, well, you know, I don't believe in Jesus. Well, then you're ignorant. Because if you don't believe in Jesus, you don't believe in history. Because whether you like it or not, Josephus and Eusebius, who were Jewish historians, validate that Jesus Christ walked on the planet and the miracles that he did and the resurrection. There's more written about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his burial than any other person on the planet. So here we are. We've got to make some decisions about Jesus. Jesus lived obedient, which means he was blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed in his storehouse, blessed in his basket. The blessings chased him down. The blessings tripped him up because he's the Son of God. Not because he was special, but because he chose to live an obedient life. You see, those who declare that Jesus walked on this planet in poverty, then what that means is this. They don't understand poverty. Where did Jesus come from? Are you out there? I said, where did Jesus come from? I said, where did Jesus come from? What is heaven like? Heaven is perfect. God is Son. Man, the streets are made of gold. I mean, it's just extravagant, over the top. Listen, Jesus lived in extravagance. Jesus lived in the most optimistic opportunity called heaven. And he gave it all up to come down here and live in what we would call, from his lifestyle, poverty. Now, I don't know about you, coming from heaven to earth, that would be poverty. And Christ gave it all up so you and I could stand here today and understand that poverty should not have a place in a believer's life. You see, I don't mind that you come here on welfare. I don't mind that you come here in poverty. But I want you to know, if you start obeying the principles of God's word, that you cannot stay in poverty. But God will bless you going in, bless you going out. And if God did that for you and I, then we know God would do that for his own Son. See, poverty is a relative thing. What is true poverty? We already talked about what poverty was. Poverty is lack. When you have lack in your life, there is a level of poverty in your life, or there's not a sufficiency in your life. What is prosperity? Prosperity or generosity is having more than enough, and generosity is given beyond what is expected or needed. You see, our God is a generous God, but many of us live in what's called a poverty mentality, where we are just surviving. We thank God that we have just enough to pay our own bills. Glory be to the Lord. I want to tell you something. There's no more selfish individual in the body of Christ who prays, God, give me just what I need to pay my bills. Because if you only have what you need to pay your bills, then how can you be like God, generous? You see, this mentality has permeated. It is part of the fabric of the church, and it must be extracted. This religious cow must be slaughtered. You gotta kill the religious cow. Why? Because some of you have believed it your whole life and you've not positioned yourself for blessing, you've positioned yourself for survival. And this has made a difference in the body of Christ. This has made a difference in your own lifestyle. This made a difference in your own household. This made a difference with your job. It's made a difference with your paying your bills. Everything depends upon what you believe, because you can only exercise enough faith to the belief system that you have. So if you don't believe God for greatness, you'll never get greatness. There's a time that we must arrest this mindset. So the question does come down to, was Jesus poor when he was on this earth? Now, a verse that we talk about in Luke chapter 2, that's a powerful verse, isn't it? Luke chapter 2, about the birth of Jesus. I just want to read it real quick to you. Is that all right? Luke chapter 2, I got to get there now. I must have changed my thing. Matthew, Mark, John. No. Matthew, Mark, Philippians, Matthew, Mark, and if you don't know next, rock solid faith. Turn to someone and say, you need rock solid faith. Because I heard you go, lip syncing doesn't count. Amen? All right. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out for Caesarea Augustus that the whole world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governor in Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. Let me say that one more time. He was of the house and the lineage of David. Who's David? He's the king. To be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them. What was happening? There was no room for them in the inn. Many people don't realize that this summons was very powerful. But when you start researching, one thing that you'll find in the research is that even though this summons went out, it was a requirement for people to go, the poor could not go because they didn't have the funds to go. They didn't have the ability to go. Can someone move that for me? They didn't have the ability to go. So therefore, the poor were not required to go and to register. Now, Joseph took his betrothed wife. Now, let me talk about betrothal. So this is very important because you need to understand what that means. In today's world, we look at it a little bit different. People are shacking up all the time. Turn to someone and say, shacking up is sin. Well, the glory be to Jesus. Had someone say to me once, I looked at this couple. They were in their 70s living together. And I said, you know, you're living together. I said, that's sin. And they said, yeah, but we'll lose our Social Security if we get married. I says, well, you're going to go to hell if you don't. They stayed living together. Here we are as believers. We've got to get back to the scripture. And the scripture is talking about Mary and Joseph. And Mary and Joseph were betrothed or engaged. Now, Jewish history was very simple, and that was this. If you were going to marry somebody, you were engaged with them for 1 year, yet you had no sexual intercourse. You had no sexual validating of the marriage. After a year, you could have intimacy. You would be considered married. But for that whole year, there could be no intimacy. Now, if you didn't want your betrothed wife during that year that you were engaged, the only way to become unengaged was to actually get a bill of divorcement. We know that when she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit, Christ being all man and all flesh, in the all man and all God in the same body, that Mary had been a virgin. And Joseph was taken aback that she got pregnant. So the angel of the Lord appeared and told him that this is all good and explained what was going on, and he was fine with that. So now they're on their way because they've been summoned, and they're going this way because he's a man that has, number one, he is of the household of David. He is of the lineage of the king, which means there's a level of status in his life. Now, many people don't recognize, but Pastor Obina Igbo, if you'll please stand up. Can you remain standing and smile at everybody? Because you're beautiful. Pastor Obi is a prince. Many of you don't realize that, but from the tribe, the Igbo tribe, he is a prince in his tribe. In fact, when he and his beautiful bride got married, which how many years ago was that now? 3 years ago. Wow, that goes by fast. 3 years ago, it was a beautiful ceremony up in Ithaca area, but after that, they had a Nigerian level of, now what did you call that? a Nigerian traditional ceremony. They were dressed in all of their garb. It was beautiful. And I got an outfit. It was beautiful. Just beautiful. And the outfits are beautiful. And they're doing all the dances, and they're doing all the rituals and the things that they did for their home country. Now, watch. He then had to take his beautiful bride back to Nigeria and present her to the people. Why? Well, he's just not some guy that's in the tribe. He is a prince in the tribe. You see, he has lineage that is royalty. And we have other lineage. Where's Philip? Philip Endophon. Philip Endophon is royalty as well. And from his tribe. And you see, all of this, we look at it as America as no big deal because we live in a democratic society. But when we look at kingdoms are different. And there's different levels of status within the kingdom. And this man, Joseph, was from the lineage of David. So he wasn't just some dude that was sitting on the balcony, but he also was a man who had his own occupation. He was a man that had his own carpentry business. We know that also what the Jewish nation and customs were is that they traded or brought their children up in the same style of work that they had so they could pass it to the next generation and it could be brought into greater levels of success. So we know that when he went to Bethlehem, he and Mary went. Now, some say he went on a donkey, but there is no proof of that. So we won't even say that. You see, we want to stay with the Bible. Turn to someone and say, stay with the Bible. But we know that when he got there, she was ready to give birth. And when she was ready to give birth, the Bible says that there was no room for them in the inn, which means they had a desire, or their plan was, to go rent a room while they were in Bethlehem. Now, one thing that's powerful understanding is that poor people never rented a room because they did not have any money. So they did not grow up. Christ did not grow up in a poverty-driven society for his own family. But he grew up in a family that had status. He grew up in a family that had position in the community because he was a man in business. And they had enough money to where even when it came to the place of needing to rent a room, they would do that. Now, why is that important to you and I? Because if Jesus, the way the church world sees him, he grew up in this poverty, he'd be all this dirty kid. He'd be like that, what's that little kid on Peanuts? Pigpen. He'd be like that little Pigpen guy. You know, well, praise the Lord, he's the Savior, but he stinks, you know? That's just not the way Christ was. Another thing that was very interesting was, many people don't realize this either, is that Jesus, when he was born in the manger, how many of you, I'll just ask this question, so don't be embarrassed because I would be raising my hands. How many of you believe or were taught that the shepherds and the wise men were both at the manger? That's not true. Isn't it amazing? So many of us, I bought religious cows. I bought that religious cow. I didn't even find that out until I got to Bible college. They weren't there at the same time. The shepherds came while Jesus was in the manger, but after, when they went home, they went to their house, and 2 years later is when the wise men came. Jesus was 2 years old when the wise men came. Where did they come to? Well, the Bible says that they came to the house of Joseph. So they came to the house of Joseph when Jesus was 2 years old, and it wasn't, how many of you ever heard the song? We three kings of Orient are. It's a lie. They never traveled in threes. Why? They'd been mugged. They usually traveled in bands of at least 50 because they lived. You ever heard of that? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The valley of the shadow of death is not just a nice little saying. It's literally a place in the road that most people got mugged. So when they traveled, now listen, they're not traveling, these magi are not traveling with a buck and a half in their pocket. They're traveling with the three most expensive things that they could offer a king. You see, gold was only offered to kings. Frankincense, which is a powerful aroma, was $500 a pound in Jesus' time. And myrrh, which was an anointing oil, was $4,000 a pound. So all of these guys, these wise men, we don't know the band, we assume like normal around 50 of them, came to Christ's house or Joseph's house when Jesus was 2 years old and gave them the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now they didn't understand, they were just honoring the king. But what they did not know was that Herod, who they had just visited, Herod was so angry that the king of Israel, the king of the Jews, had been born, and these guys had explained it to him, that now he had planned to do the same thing that Pharaoh did while he was trying to kill Moses, kill all the children under the age of 2 years old. So the Lord appeared, or an angel appeared, to Joseph and said, now take your household and head to Egypt. Why did they need? Why did the generous God give them all that they needed? Why? Because God told them to take the entire family now over the border into another country where Joseph could not work as a carpenter because he could not work in a foreign company and his country. And now for 2 years, they lived off of all of the wealth, all the generosity of God. God always takes care of his people. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. Can I hear an amen? So many people just look at this Jesus as this poor little wimpish guy who just barely made it by. But that is just simply not true. The one thing we also find is that Joseph died. We don't know the exact time that Joseph died. The last time we see Joseph was when Jesus was 12 years old in the temple. Do you remember that? When Jesus was in the temple and mom and dad left after the festival, after the feast. And they got, a day journey away. And they said, where's our kid? Now, how many of you have done that? Where's our kid after a day? After a whole day, don't raise your hand. We're going to get you arrested. Can you imagine going a whole day's distance away and realizing, where's Sam? Oh, I thought you had him. No. They went a whole day's journey away and realized that Jesus wasn't there. So they went back and they found him in the temple. That's the last time we see Joseph. And Jesus' ministry started when he was 30 years old. So sometime in between there, Joseph had died. Now I need to bring us back to, again, the principles of the Jewish nation, the principles of the Word of God. According to Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 17, that when a father died, the eldest son would receive a double portion of the father's estate and inheritance. So we know that when Joseph died, Jesus being the firstborn, received a double portion of all that Joseph had. Now we know that Joseph at least had a house that we know of. We know that he had some kind of wealth. Now according to the Word of God, you and I as parents, this is what the Scripture says, should not only have an inheritance for our children, but our children's children. So we don't know exactly how much Joseph had, but we know he had more than enough to be able to bless his child. Now Jesus, such a powerful man of God, when he went into ministry, the one thing that we find is this. So many people are saying, well, Jesus didn't have a house. Jesus had no place to lay his head. They use the verse in Luke chapter 9, verse 58. And Jesus said unto them, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Now you see, that's a powerful statement, but if you don't realize why it was said, again, literal interpretation. I just lost the word. Yeah, but not the context. The historical grammatical exegete. I usually teach that class. I don't know how I forgot that. Why in the world did Jesus say, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head, was for this reason, because Jesus was in Samaria. The one thing you'll find about Samaria is the Samaritans and the Jews hated each other. You see, the Samaritans, actually, they were considered a cult because they raised up another place of worship in Samaria. So the Jews hated the Samaritans. Where was Jesus at this very moment? Jesus was in Samaria. The Bible says that he actually sent his disciples in Luke chapter 9 verses 51 through 53 to go ahead and to get a place for them to stay, but they would not let them stay because they were Jews. And that's why Jesus said, birds have nests, foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Why is that? Because we know Jesus had a house because of the inheritance from his father, according to Deuteronomy chapter 21:17. But also Jesus, when he was inviting his disciples, said this in John chapter 1, 37 through 39. Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day. You see, so many of us have believed a lie. many of us have believed that Jesus was this poor beggar guy out on the street just hoping to make it by. But if that is true, then God can't bless you either. Jesus didn't wear poor stuff. In fact, he was a pretty good dressed up guy. Many people believe that he just dust and dirt. But Jesus, he was a well-dressed man. The Bible says in John chapter 19, 23 through 24, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, for whose it shall be. Now, many people don't realize, but a seamless garment was the Armani of that day. That Jesus actually had to go to a tailor and have it woven from the top to the bottom. There was not one seam in his entire coat. It was an expensive coat. It was not some cheap little thing that he got at the Salvation Army. Nothing wrong with the Salvation Army. But there was nothing, you know, he didn't get it from, what do they call it, Salvo. He had a nice outfit on, so nice that even the Romans recognized it and would not crucify him with it on, and took it off and would not cut it up, but simply cast lots to whose it would be. You see, Jesus, we see him in this religious manner, and we've got to change that, because he was an obedient son, and an obedient son got the promises of Deuteronomy chapter 28. But yet Christ did live in poverty in reference, in relativity, to where he came from in eternity. And he came down so that you and I do not have to be buckled down by the lies of this religious spirit that is called the spirit of poverty. You see, Jesus on the cross of Calvary, we find certain things were accomplished. We know that the blood washes away every single stain. Can we hear an amen? We know that the body of Jesus, that by his stripes we are healed. The Bible makes a declaration in Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all of his benefits, who forgives every single sin and heals every disease. You see, those are the benefits of the body of Christ. Those are the benefits of the covenant rite. But yet we see another one, that's 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, that Christ also came to destroy the spirit of poverty in the church. Why? Where did poverty come from? Well, let's look at it. Where did sin come from? Sin came in the garden and expelled them out of the garden so much that the tree of life was guarded by an angel so that no one could touch it. Then we also see that in that place is where sickness was born out of. You see, in the garden was no sin. In the garden was no sickness. In the garden was no lack. There was none of that in the garden. We found it come into existence on this planet because man chose to live their way instead of God's way. You see, the problem with this, is that without Jesus, can I hear an amen? Without the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundations of the earth, without Christ coming and dying on that cross, then you and I had to participate with the problems that Adam and Eve caused. The first Adam brought death, but the second Adam brought life. He became a curse for us so that we don't have to participate with it. We are so blessed. Can I hear an amen? Our God is so generous to give his greatest seed to get you and I his greatest harvest. Oh, how much more time do I get? I love you. Whoever you are, they'll crucify you and not me. Glory to God. Jesus and his ministry, was he blessed in ministry or was he poor in ministry? One of the things I hear all the time from pastors, well, I don't got any money. Well, I don't got any money. Well, I can't do anything for God. There's no money in the church. There's no money in the church because the pastors are afraid to preach this message. There's no money in the church because the pastors are afraid to preach about tithing, sowing, and reaping. They're keeping the people poor by keeping them from the supernatural word of God. I got to say it again because you're not listening to me. These preachers are keeping their churches poor because they're not preaching the word of God. In fact, our church in Mexico, and they might be watching, but that's all right. I'll call them out on it. He says, I don't want to preach about tithing in our church. You know, they don't make a lot of pesos. I said, if you don't preach about tithing, they'll never get ahead, because God's word is yea and amen. And if you're not tithing, then you're cursed. But if you're tithing, you enter into the blessings of God. It's time to recognize that Jesus Christ paid the price. You see, Jesus did not lack anything in ministry. He had an abundant supply in ministry. Do you ever wonder this? He walked by and he called them out. I'll make you fishers of men. They were professional fishermen, which means they had a job. And he called them off their job to make them fishers of men. We don't know all of their jobs, but we know some of their jobs. We know four of them were professional fishermen that had their own fleets. We know that according to the word. We know that one was a physician. We know that one was a tax collector, which means he was a thief and had his pockets full of everybody else's money. He was the IRS. When Jesus called them out, the Bible makes a declaration that a man that does not take care of his own house is worse than an unbeliever. So for Jesus to call out these men, to call them away from their families, to call them away from their businesses, who's now taking care of their family? Who's now taking care of feeding them on the road? Who's now making sure that their families are taken care of? Because if these men follow Jesus but didn't take care of their family, they're worse than an unbeliever. Not only that, is Jesus had a treasurer. You know what's interesting about a treasurer? You don't need one when you only got a buck in your pocket. The Bible says that Judas was their treasurer. That's John chapter 13, verse 29. Since Judas was their treasurer, some thought Jesus was telling him to go and pay for the food or to give some money to the poor. Judas was a thief. John chapter 12, verse 16. Not that he cared for the poor, he was a thief. And since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some for himself. Watch this now. Jesus had enough in his till. Jesus had enough in his ministry account that when he looked at Judas and said, now go do what you got to do, the other disciples said, what is he going to do? Is he going to go out and pay for the meal? Which means it was enough money to pay for the meal. Which means it was enough money in the treasury to take care of business, because you do not, if you don't pay for it, you don't eat it. Well, he's supernatural. He floated out of the room. No, he paid his bills. He even paid his taxes. Remember, they came and said, hey, they want us to pay tax. He looked at Peter and said, now go fishing. Man, you never know where God's deposit is. Can I hear an amen? The one thing you know for sure is that God will always take care of you, because he's a generous God. He'll never let you suffer. He wants you to be blessed and not cursed. Now listen, I'm not saying you won't be persecuted. Heard that. They weren't sure if he was going to go pay the bill. Now, have you ever paid the bill for 12 guys? Anybody ever paid the bill for 13? Because with Jesus, that's 13 people eating supper. Can you imagine paying the bill for 13 men who were ready to eat? They had to pay for the renting of the room, and they also had to pay for the food. But the disciples said, is he going out to do that? Or is he going out to do what? To give money to the poor. There was enough money. Jesus had enough money in his ministry, so he did not keep it to himself. He is the generous church. Amen? He is the church. He is the head of the church. And if Christ didn't give to the poor, then why would we give to the poor? If he had not enough to do anything, then how could we do anything? It's time to recognize that Jesus, he is our great example. And in the treasure that was there, he had enough in the till to do the job. Luke chapter 10, he sent his disciples out 4 through 9, and he said, now, don't take any money and don't take any clothes. The reason he said that was because, is that all right if I take 3 more minutes? Don't take any money and don't take any clothes. Why? Because the Jewish custom of that day was that if somebody came in as a minister, as a priest, or in any kind of ministry fashion, it was the people's job to take care of them, feed them, clothe them, and make sure that all their needs were taken care of.
But Christ changed his commission in Luke chapter 22, 30 through, 35 through 36, when he said this. And he said to them, when I sent you without money bag, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything? And they said nothing. Then he said to them, but now he who has money, a money bag, let him take it. And likewise a knapsack, and he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. He recommissioned them even to the place of having enough to where they'd even go out and buy a weapon. You like that one, Jay? Oh, I got to end. I got another page. Is that it? But I can't do it. I'm done. It is simple. That Jesus was not this poor beggar man that walked on the planet and survived. He is the man of God, the Son of God, who God appointed to be the Lamb, who God appointed to die on the cross, who was persecuted but was not one that walked around with his chin scraping on the ground hoping to barely make it by. But he was a prosperous, blessed man of God, and he had more than enough to even to give to the poor. It's time for the church to have a revelation in our spirit. Kill this religious cow that God wants you poor. Listen, money means nothing. It can't get you to heaven, and it can't keep you from heaven. But I'd rather have money and get to heaven than have no money and not. I'd rather have money to get to heaven and even have money and go to heaven. Yes. Why? Because the purpose for money is that you be a blessing to somebody else. And this way that spirit of poverty has turned in people's heads. They become so greedy, they keep everything for themselves. Listen, if you want it, the prosperous soul, what? The generous soul is made rich. Our hands should never be clenched because of poverty and survival. God has called us to be prosperous. God has called us to be blessed. God has called us to be generous. But you cannot be generous if you believe in the religious cow that Jesus was this poor guy that barely made it by, and that's the way it's just got to be for you. God has greatness for you. God has blessing for you. Some of you got business inside of you. You've got entrepreneurialism inside of you. Some of you are going to start hiring people. Some of you need raises. Some of you need increase in your finances at home. Man, I want you to know that if you actually believe it, you'll put your faith to it. But if you never believe it, you'll never put your faith to anything but survival. 30 seconds. No, I'm watching the clock. I got a clock back there. When I was in Newfield as pastor, one of the things that bothered me the most was when the Mormons ran their commercials on television, because they were good commercials. Mormonism is a cult. It is not the gospel. It is a false gospel. And yet, they had more than enough to be able to put commercials. And I remember even at that point, I was driving school bus for 4 years. And I remember going into the board, and I said to the board, I said, listen, man, during the summer, I can't drive bus. Is it possible maybe you could, you know, I just need $200 a week to pay my bills? And they looked at me and said, give us your bills, we'll pay them for you. And I said, I don't think so. They wanted to keep me poor. And I said to myself, there is no way that I'd ever be able to put a commercial on declaring the goodness of our God, declaring the true gospel of Jesus, because there's not enough money in this church to pee in the wind. Actually, there was more than enough. But instead of generous, they chose to be greedy. Yeah, you know, Deb was there. You see, each one of us make this decision. Every one of us make a decision whether you're going to be like this or like this. Amazingly enough, in our church, it's the mature Christians that don't tithe. The young ones do. Are you like this or are you like this? If you're like this, you can't increase. If you're like this, the generous soul shall prosper. And when you believe that God wants you to be blessed, you position yourself for blessing. And you believe that God will bring things from the north, the south, the east, and the west. He'll drop money off when you don't even know when it's coming. Can I hear an amen? You man, all of a sudden, someone's going to walk up and hand you a bill. All of a sudden, someone's going to bless you with a job. All of a sudden, like Josh, he's going to get the job of his dreams, a $20,000 raise. Glory to God. But if you're like this, and if you believe that God wouldn't even bless his own kid, how would he bless you? Bow your heads with me this morning. If you're a guest this morning, this is a different style church, a different style sermon. Usually I'm a preacher. But I've got to get this out. Poverty was not the lot of Jesus or his disciples, and it's not what God is calling you to either. And today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're in the greatest position of poverty of your life. Because without Jesus, you can't go to heaven. Without Christ as your Savior, you can't be saved from your sin. Without Jesus, the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you do not have Jesus, you cannot be saved from your sins. That's the greatest poverty. You can have everything on this planet. I said the verse earlier, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So you need Jesus. You need Jesus today. Some of you are backslidden. You served God once with all your heart. Now, man, you're so far from him, you don't even know how you got there. You want to come home. Some of you have never given your heart to the Lord. Doesn't mean you don't believe in God, but you've never surrendered your life to Christ and asked him to be your Lord and Savior. Today, if that's you and you want to get rich today in spirit, you want him to wash every sin away, you want to know him, walk with him, talk with him, be in covenant with God. And man, his promises are yea and amen. If that's you today, I want you to raise your hand up. I'm not going to embarrass you. Thank you, sir. I'm very proud of you. Anybody else want to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? Thank you very much. Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else this morning? Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. I see your hand. You can put it right back down. Is there anyone else this morning? Come on. Thank you, young lady. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. It's a great day. You're going from poverty to wealth. Hallelujah. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar right now. Very good. Those who raise their hand for salvation, I'm going to ask you to be brave. Grab the person next to you who brought you. I'm going to ask you to meet me right here, right now. Come right out of your chair. Come right now, right out of your chair. Who cares what people think? Who cares what people say? This is your moment and your time. Amen. Come on, you got this. Be brave. Amen. Stay right here with me. Amen. Praise the Lord, man. I'm proud of you. Man of God. Young lady. The whole family's going to change. Man of God, I'm proud of you. Young lady. Yes. Are you ready? This is what we want to do. We want to pray. And I'm going to ask you right now, see this young lady right over there? Wave at her. There you go. I'm going to have her pray with you because I wanted to make sure that it doesn't get caught up in the crowd. This is a personal thing with you and Jesus. And we want to make sure we put the tools in your hand to succeed, man. It's not just how you start, it's how you finish. We want you to finish strong. Go all the way with God. He's got great things for you, man. Great things. Not good things. Great things. Bible says, abundantly above all you could even ask or even imagine. Your greatest imagination can't even touch what God has plans for you already. And today, that's what we're believing for. So if you'll find your way right over to that lady right there, she's going to pray with you, man. I'm proud of you. Amen. Are you ready? I said, are you ready? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come against the spirit of poverty in Christ's name. Not only in this church, but all across this region. I speak it and cast it down out of Elmira in the name of Jesus. I declare, God, that spirit of poverty will not have that city in Jesus' name. We repel the very thoughts of it by the power of God. We declare prosperity and blessing coming out of this church as the example that people will say, I want the God you serve. I want to live like you live. I want to know the God you know. God, I just thank you that you're going to bring every kind of person to this house. Lord, even the poverty-stricken that we brought up, oh God, in to be millionaires. Lord, those that are millionaires who will come, Lord, and be just humble and serve you with all of their heart. And God, every person in between, we declare, Lord Jesus, that you are no respecter of person and that money does not bring classification, but God, our position with you in relationship is what establishes us. So I declare it in Jesus' name that, God, we are blessed and not cursed in the name of Jesus. And everybody receiving a shout in. I love you. Serve God with all of your heart. If you're a guest this morning, we'd love to meet you personally. If you go right out the door, go right to the left. We'd love to meet you right out there.